We're learning Nefesh HaChaim, the Prokim of Shaar Gimel. I'm going to start from the top again. So Perik Aleph, he says as follows. Ata Kirei Noim, you my pleasant reader. Right, we want Mamish Reb Chaim Volozhin is speaking to us. And you can feel that, you know, one of the Gedolei Ador, one of the greatest of Gedolim, is Mamish speaking to us. He's talking to us. So he says, you my pleasant reader. Hinei Drachticha Be'ezrat Hashem Nesiva Seimus. Look, I have directed you with Hashem's help on the paths of truth. I've shown you the paths of truth. I've shown you how to focus in davening, what sort of thought you should have, how you should approach the davening, how you should be looking at yourself and how you should be looking at Hashem. Reis lefanecha derech telech bo levetach, to show you the path along which you can go in a very, very certain way, in a very secure way, in a very confident way. If you follow what I've been teaching you up to now, this is going to put you on a path of success in terms of your davening, in terms of your whole approach to life. That you know this truth, that in a sense, there is nothing besides Hashem. And with what I've given you, you're able to educate yourself little by little, you know, further along the path, according to the different levels that we spoke about before. And the amount of progress you will make will depend on the purity of your heart, according to your understanding. The better you understand the concept, the more you internalize the concept, the more you can picture the concept, so the further you will grow. You'll be able to understand things that I didn't even write here. Because we've got the principles, we've got the basics, so we can use those basics to build on those basics and to get it to even higher place than what he's described here. And also through habit. A person can use habit in a good way to get himself into certain good habits. Good habits of ways of thinking, thinking in a good habit, in a good way, etc. You can have a habit of doing the right thing. And with your eyes you will see, and you'll see that the more that you accustom yourself, the more you habituate yourself in this level, amongst these levels, This is going to add purity to your purity. It's a person on a path of growth, and he just keeps getting to new levels. It's almost like every day is like a new discovery. What you are today is more than you were yesterday. And it can always be that. It can be that every day is a new day. Mamish, with new horizons, new visions. You see new things. A person adds purity to his purity. Hein be'esek ha'Torah, whether it's in busying his Torah, the way he learns Torah, behind the kiyuma mitzvahs, and whether it's in the way he fulfills mitzvahs, the yirosev avotisboch, and his fear of Hashem and his love of Hashem, his appreciation of Hashem and his attachment to Hashem. Omnom, here comes the big but. Hishame v'izoyim od, you have to be careful very, very much. Sheloi tazuach da'itcho alecha, that you shouldn't start feeling arrogant. You shouldn't start feeling proud of yourself. V'tisnase levovcha, your heart is lofty, your heart starts floating up. What's floating, you know, like your feet are floating on the ground or from off the ground, because you know you feel that you know the secret that no one else is understanding it the way you understand it. And a person feels a certain elevation, he feels a certain greatness that he is serving Hashem with a pure thought, purity of thought. He knows how to look at Hashem in the right way. So therefore that purifies his thought, and his whole approach to Hashem, his whole approach to his service of Hashem is on a different level. Now at first glance you won't feel that you've risen so much because of this approach. But tzarich, you know, you won't be sensitive that now you feel yourself to be superior. And we have a problem, we all have a problem basically, that one of our problems that's built into our personality is that we like to think that we're better than the other guy. Okay, that's a good guy, but I'm better than him. I'm a bigger tzaddik than him, I'm nicer than him, I'm more handsome than him, I'm cleverer than him, and I do more stuff than he does. So that's, we all have that built into ourselves. We look at other people, we already say, well, yeah, he's okay, but I'm better. So that's built into us, that's one of our problems. But something like this can help that even more. Now that's a mistake. We can never think ourselves superior to anyone, because every person's gone his own path, everyone's person's coming from a different direction, and everyone's had his own challenges, his own difficulties, and you can't judge. It's like comparing chalk with cheese. You know, what's better, chalk or cheese? This is chalk and this is cheese. You can't compare them. They're two totally different things. Every single person is on a totally different path. You can't say I'm better than him. Unless you mamish on Hashem, looking from Shemaim, then you can say you're better than him. It could be you've done more than him, but it could be he had more difficulties. You had more help. You had more talents. And the amount you've done is not so great. According to your talents, you should have been flying in the sky already. And according to his talents, he should have been crawling in the mud. And look, he's doing quite nicely. So therefore, you think you're superior to him, but it's not true. With his talents, he's done much more than you've done. So that's the correct hashkafa. We should never, never, one of the biggest mistakes we can make is to feel that we're superior to other people. But with this thing, mamish elevates us. It puts us on a new plane. This type of thought, knowing this intention, this idea that we've been learning now, so that mamish lifts a person. And he says, even though at first you won't feel that you're feeling sort of arrogant because of this idea, but however, you have to check yourself out. Check yourself out. Check out your own thoughts. Check out your own attitudes. You have to examine yourself. The cost of Meforash, and it's written explicitly in a pasuk in Mishle, to Avas Hashem, an abomination to Hashem is called Gvar Lev. Anyone who has a haughty heart means the person who thinks he's superior to other people, is an abomination to Hashem. That's what Hashem hates. But whatever we've got is what Hashem's given us. And Hashem's got ways of handing out things. He basically treats us all the same. Just different people, different challenges, different situations. You can never know. It's all from Hashem. And for us to think I'm better than him is an abomination to Hashem. For Hashem, it's mamish disgusting for him. It's a mistake. It's a huge mistake that we think we're superior to any person. And sometimes we can't avoid it, but that's what we have to do. That's the challenge. We can never, never feel superior to anyone. You see a beggar, you can't know you're superior to him. You see someone who acts in a disgusting way, you can't know that you're superior to him. Mamish can't know these things. So that is what we're learning here, that this is the big problem. Now, when we speak about arrogance, we're not just talking about that you're showing off. You get people who show off. You know, they want to show off. Oh, look at me, I'm the big guy. You know, I'm the great guy. I'm the intelligent guy. We're not talking about that. Even though a person doesn't show off, he doesn't show that he feels superior. People don't realize that he feels superior, but no one notices. He looks like a regular guy. He acts like everyone else. Just in his own thoughts he thinks of himself as better. Outwardly no one can tell. He's not showing off. He's not acting arrogant. He's not acting superior. But in his own thoughts he thinks he's superior. He to Eva Mamish. This is an abomination. Even if it's only in his own thoughts, it's an abomination to Hashem. Right? No one can see it. But Hashem can see into your heart, so therefore Hashem can see it. He to Eva Mamish, it's Mamish an abomination, Lefon of Yisroel before Hashem. As it's known, that this is the root, and this is the yeast in the dough. Now, when you know the yeast, what does the yeast do? It makes the dough puff up. So therefore, the yeast in the dough is the Yetzer Hara, is called the yeast in the dough. He's the one who makes us spoil. The yeast also makes the part of the fact that dough rises is because it's a type of rotting process. It's sort of a fermentation. Fermenting is a type of rotting. So that's the Yetzer Hara. Well, the Yetzer Hara tries to get us to sin, which is to rot, become rotten. And he does that by puffing us up. So that's called the yeast. Because just like yeast puffs up the dough, the Yetzer Hara tries to puff us up, that we should feel superior. And this is the core of our problems. This is often the core of our sins, is the fact that we feel that we're superior. And that's called the yeast in the dough, the chol amidus rois. And from arrogance, a person comes to all sorts of terrible sins. Right? It's a key. Because a person feels he's superior. It's I'm better than everyone else. I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to do that. You know, I'm the boss. So therefore, you know, I can insult people, and I can spit at people. I can do what I want. I'm the big shot. You know, the big shot can do anything that he wants. He can always treat everyone else like dirt. And these are all avarice, tremendous avarice. And that's all led because of arrogance. Because he's arrogant, he thinks he's allowed to say what he wants. He's allowed to do what he wants. He's allowed to treat other people like dirt. He's allowed to treat the mitzvahs like dirt. And he comes to many, many sins. This is all because of this haughtiness. The Omru, and also the Gemara says, in Soita Shekola Misyaher, Keilu Bona Borma. Now, anyone who feels arrogant is like he built an altar. There's a prohibition of building altars outside of the Beis HaMikdash. When we have the Beis HaMikdash, the only place you can bring sacrifices is to the Beis HaMikdash. Someone who builds a private altar is forbidden. And such a person has this arrogance that the Shechina cries about it. Right? The Divine Presence cries about this person. He cries about it. That's a loss. Right? Imagine you have a son who throws mud at his father. So the father would cry about that. You know, that's my son. It's not the mud that hurts him. It's just, how can my son do this? My son did this to me. So that's, Hashem Mamish cries about it. A person acts arrogantly. So it's against Hashem in a sense, because you're not showing proper appreciation, the proper respect. And Hashem himself cries about it. It's like you push away the feet of Hashem. It's like you're pushing Hashem out of the world. That's what an arrogant person does. He pushes Hashem out of the world. And Hashem then complains about this person. He complains about the arrogant person. And he says, "Ein ani v'hu yochelim ladur b'keechad. I and he can't live in the same world." He's so haughty, he's so full of himself, he's pushing me out of the world. Because the principle of where is Hashem found, right? The famous story, famous vort of the Kotzker Rebbe. So he said, where's Hashem found? He says, he's found wherever you let him in. Wherever you let him in. Sometimes a person's heart is so full, there's no room for Hashem. You know, he's so busy, he's such a big guy, he's such a big shot. He's buying and he's running and he's doing and he's giving orders. But there's no room for Hashem in his life. He's so full of himself, there's no room in Hashem for Hashem in his life. So that's what Hashem says about the arrogant person. I and he can't live in the same world. Because it's up to us to bring Hashem into our lives, into our hearts. We have to bring Hashem into the world. Otherwise Hashem's not in the world. Right, where's Hashem? It's wherever you let him in. That was the Kotzker's vote. If you let him in, then he's there. If you don't let him in, then he's not there. Because that's the way it works. That's our free choice. So therefore Hashem says about the arrogant person, I and he cannot live in the same world. The Kotzah Meitzah Mistareh. The mattress is too narrow to stretch out on. Right, you've got two big guys. They can't share one little mattress. So therefore, it's either me or you. So that's the arrogant person. He pushes Hashem off the mattress. He says, right, no, this bed's mine. Get off, you know, boom. Pushes him off the bed. Right, the next thing is falling, I say, in a sense, like a moshel. In a sense, Hashem, the arrogant person pushes Hashem off the bed. And woe to the son who drives his father out of his house. Mizroya. To throw the father out from his own palace. And we see tzaddikim are tested with things like that. David HaMelech, Amish had that experience. His own son tried to kill him, to try to take over the kingship. So we see that tzaddikim are tested with these things. But these are things that we sometimes do. We, in a sense, we are the ones who kick Hashem out of his own house. And Hashem gave us this world. He gave us everything we've got. And we get rid of him. Right? We've got no time for you. Get out of my life. You say to Hashem, get out of my life. So that's this arrogance. And Chazal speak about this very, very strongly. A person who is arrogant is like he's an idol worshiper, he's serving idols. The kofa beika, it's like he's denying Hashem. Person who is arrogant, it's like he's saying there's no God. That's where arrogance leads to. It's like he's saying, I don't believe in God. It's like he had relations with all the forbidden women. He had relations with his mother, with his sister, with his daughter. Can you imagine anything more disgusting than that? So therefore, that's the arrogant person. He's the equivalent of someone who has relations with all forbidden women. That's what arrogance is. V'omru kolam is yaher, and also the Gemara says in Psochim that anyone who feels arrogant im chochemhu, if he's a sage, if he's a wise man, chochmosu mistalekes mimenu, he loses his wisdom. His wisdom goes out the window. He loses his wisdom through arrogance. Because the wisdom is a gift from Hashem, and if we miss, you know, if we don't treat Hashem properly, he just takes his gift and he goes. Okay, you don't want me in your house, I'm taking my stuff and I'm going. So he takes his wisdom, Hashem takes his wisdom back, and wisdom departs from a person. A person who feels arrogant, he loses his wisdom. V'kol asher yiras Hashem noga b'libo, anyone who the fear of Hashem touches his heart, tismoy saris roshi, he says his hair will stand on end when he thinks of this idea. V'tidmo'enu, his eyes will start tearing, maloisa liboy, when it will just occur to him, mi lamdu razal mizos. Now where do we learn this from? It's unbelievable where we learn it from. Let's have a look. Mihilal Azoken. From the great Hillel. The great Hillel, one of the greatest of our sages, one of the greatest of our heroes, was Hillel. Hillel Azoken. Hillel the Elder. Asher yadua mufusam b'divrehim, like we know from the Gemara in Shabbos, that he is the example of humility. He was the ultimate example of humility. And there are a number of stories there in the Gemara in Shabbos, v'aflogas anfasnusoy, v'shifloy sanoyro, he was very willing to humble himself to a tremendous degree. There are a few stories. The stories are well known. One of the stories is that there were two men who took a wager between them. They made like a bet between them. The one said, I can get Hillel angry. And the one said, if you can get Hillel angry, I'll pay you 400 zuz. And if you can't, you pay me 400 zuz. A fortune of money. 400 zuz is a lot of money. So anyway, this man went to Hillel on Friday afternoon, and just before Shabbos, everyone's in pressure. Hillel was busy bathing. And he called out, is there Hillel here, Hillel here? Is there Hillel in the house? So he was speaking very chutzpahdik. He called, he went to Hillel's house and he said, Hillel, is there Hillel here? Hillel, come out. Here, I want to talk to you. And he started asking the most ridiculous, stupid question. You know, why do Africans have wide feet? Right? And why do these people have slanty eyes? It's a stupid question. I mean, stupid question. And Hillel, every question he asked him, he answered him humbly. And he said, oh, that's a very good question, my son. He was very polite to him. He said, that's a very good question. He explained it to him. And then again he went in. He waited until again then he was undressed in the bathroom. Then he called him out again. He did this a few times. So he never managed to get him angry. So then finally he said to him, he says, are you the famous Hillel who's the rabbi of Israel? So he said, yes. So he says, well, then there shouldn't be more like you. There shouldn't be people like you in this world. So Hillel said to him, why not, my son? His mommy was gentle with him. Why not, my son? He says, because of you, I lost 400 zoos. Chutzpah. He says to him, because you know, there shouldn't be people like you in the world. Because of you, I lost 400 zoos. So he said, just be careful. It's worthwhile that you lose 400 zoos and another 400 zoos and that you should never make me angry. Because you don't know what that can be. So that was the humility of Hillel. Other stories that are brought about Hillel there. The stories of, there were converts. There were people who wanted to convert. Who came to Shammah. We know that the two leaders of the generation were Hillel and Shammah. And Shammah was very, very strict about the honor of the Torah. You didn't come to him with nonsense. So one guy came to Shammah. And he says, I want you to teach the Torah. I want to convert on condition that you teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Which is a chutzpah. I'm going to stand on one foot, you teach me the whole Torah. So Shammah said, get out of here. Get lost. So he went to Hillel. So he says to Hillel, he wants to learn the whole, he says, I want to convert, but you have to teach me the whole Torah while I stand one foot. So Hillel accepted it. He says, all right, I'll convert you. So he says, all right, teach me the whole Torah on one foot. So he said, well, the whole Torah is that what is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. He said, that's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. What's hateful to you, don't do to anyone else. That's the whole Torah. And another story with another guy. He came to Shammai, and he says to him, I'm prepared to convert, but I only want to accept the written Torah. I don't want to accept the oral Torah. I'm converting on condition that I only have to keep the written Torah, I don't keep the oral Torah, which is pure heresy. What do you mean? The oral Torah and the written Torah are one and the same. So it's pure heresy. So Shammah said, get out of here. He threw him out of the house. He went to Hillel. So Hillel said to him, fine. So he said, okay, come, let me start teaching you. So he says, all right, I'll accept your condition. You only want the written Torah. Fine. Okay, now come and learn with me. So he started teaching him. So he said, all right, start teaching me. So he took out a seder and he showed him the aleph bays. And he said, that's an aleph, that's a bays, that's a gimel. He said, right, that's your first lesson. He taught him the whole aleph bays. He said, right, come tomorrow and I'll teach you your next lesson. So the next day, the convert came. So he went down and he showed him the taf. And he said, that's an aleph, that's a bays. He showed him all the letters. He started explaining the whole thing the other way around. He said, you know, all the letters back to front. So this guy says to him, wait, yesterday you told me the exact opposite. Why are you not today? You're telling me the opposite again. He says, well, you have to rely on me. So if you're going to rely on me that what I'm telling you is true, you'll have to rely on me also that the oral Torah is part of the written Torah. Which is a deeper pshat in that story, but that's the basic story. And the third example was, there was a non-Jew who was once walking past a study hall, and he overheard the children, they were learning of the Chumash, they were learning about the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Beautiful clothes, right? The Kohen Gadol has eight garments and with gold and with special linen, etc. Beautiful garments. So this guy is listening to the description of these garments. So he says, who are these garments for? So they said, that's for the Kohen Gadol of the Jewish people. So he says, oh, he says, they sound good. He says, I'd like garments like that. So he went to Shammai and he says to Shammai, he says, convert me, but on condition that I can be the Kohen Gadol. Shammai said, get out of here, right? Stream out. Huh? Went to Hillel. Hillel said, fine. He said, I'll convert you, now go and learn. So this guy went and learned, and he started learning. And it says, he started learning about Kohanim and the service of the Kohanim. He was attracted by the Kohen Gadol. He wants to be Kohen Gadol, this guy. So he's attracted. So he starts reading about Kohanim, and it says about the service of the Kohanim, the service of the temple, that any non-Kohen who comes into the temple will die. So he said, who's this going on? So they told him, it's even referring to David, Melech Yisrael. David, Melech Yisrael is also not a Kohen. Anyone who's not a Kohen cannot approach the temple. So he says, well, if David HaMelech can't come in, then certainly I can't be a Kohen Gadol. But then he suddenly realized that the favor that Hillel had shown, because of him, he had started learning, and because of him, he started learning, so he started seeing the beauty of the Torah. So that was the humility. So these three converts met once, and they exchanged stories, and they all said, you know, blessed is Hillel, that because of his patience, we were able to enter under the wings of the divine presence.
Yeah.
And he mamish right, and that's the humility of Hillel. Now, there are other stories about the humility, tremendous, tremendously humble. But here we're going to see something interesting, a twist. Listen to what he brings here. There's another story which goes the other way around. In Kolze, Kashen is Damen Liad, Liadu Pam Achas, Ktsas Inyan. There once happened to him a story as follows. Shaya Nire Bashkofa Kisnas. There was a certain story, a certain incident which looked like he was being a little bit arrogant. Efima Dregas Goedel and Michas Ruch, according to the greatness of his humility. But take of Nenash, he immediately was punished. The story goes as follows. The princes of Israel were the Bnei Basera. They were the Rosh Hashiva of Eretz Israel, the Bnei Basera. And once there came a question to them, and they asked, it was Erev Pesach came out on the Shabbos. So we know Erev Pesach, you've got to shecht the Korban Pesach. So they asked, can we shecht the Korban Pesach on Shabbos? And these rabbis couldn't remember the locha. They couldn't remember. So someone told him, you know, there's a student that's just come from Bavel, and his name is Hillel. And maybe you can ask him. He's supposed to be a very good student. So they called him in and they asked him the question. He said, "Of course you can shecht the." Right? He gave. He proved to them why that we can shecht the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Right? The Korban Pesach pushes off Shabbos. Shabbos comes out on Erev. If Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, you break Shabbos for Pesach. So he proved to them. So they said, they were also great men. They said, "Oh, if you know what we don't know, we're stepping down." Which is also an amazing thing. The neighbor said himself, "We're stepping down, and you'll be the Nasi of Klal. You'll be the Rosh Hashiva of Eretz Yisrael. You'll be the Nasi. You'll be the Prince of Eretz Yisrael." That's how Hillel became the Nasi. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. They said, "We'll step down." But then what happened was later on, Hillel thought he's going to give them a little bit of Musa. He said to him, "You know, the fact that you had to step down for me is because you guys were a little bit lazy. You didn't learn like you should have learned. That's your fault." The minute he said that, he said, "You guys were a little bit lazy." The minute he said that, someone came to ask him a question and he forgot the halacha. So immediately the heavens punished him. No, that's not, you shouldn't be, you, Hillel, should not be speaking like that. Even though he meant it for the good, he wanted to encourage them that you guys were acting a little bit lazy. Maybe you should make improvements. But nevertheless, that was considered not appropriate. He should not have said, "You guys were a little bit lazy," to Bnei Basera. These were great men. He shouldn't have said that, and immediately he was punished and he forgot the halacha. So that's what we see. The example of that through arrogance one loses one's wisdom is brought from no less than Hillel. That's his comment here. That no one is exempt from this. A person who acts arrogantly loses his wisdom. And where do we learn this from? From no less than Hillel himself. The most humble person in Jewish history, he also made a mistake and he also immediately lost his wisdom. He had no protection. He had no influence to make sure that he was an exception. Same rule fell on him. If you act arrogantly, you lose your wisdom. You make mistakes, you forget your learning, etc. So therefore, my neiman in the bare nothing. So what are we going to say? Right? Ech anu tzichim lefashvesh lemashvesh al zeh b'chol eis. How much do we have to be careful to not be arrogant at all times? Perg beis. Kam tucha ligrom l'odem hisnasu b'hisnasus b'leiv. Now, it's also able to cause a person to feel haughty in his heart. The fact that he knows that he's serving Hashem with the purity of the heart. So therefore, he knows that he's now serving Hashem with a tremendous purity of heart. And therefore, he looks at other people and they're not serving Hashem at the same level as he is. So therefore, he sort of looks down on them. He looks down on them. Oh, these guys aren't learning. Oh, they're not serving Hashem. They don't know what I know. They're not reholding where I'm holding. So therefore he looks down on them because they're not where he is. You know, they're doing mitzvahs. They're doing it without clinging to Hashem. They're not doing it with proper clinging to Hashem, dveikus, proper cleaving to Hashem. Because she came to Shehira as the Ish Oisik B'Torah Hashem, and all the more so this guy, when he sees someone else learning Torah, he's born in another, he'll think into him, he'll look at him carefully, and he'll see Shehu Shelo Lishmo. He sees this guy, I see someone learning Torah, but he's not learning for the sake of Hashem. He's got other motivations. He wants a little bit of honor, he wants a little bit of prestige, he wants maybe to get a good job, maybe he wants a good shidduch, that's why he's learning Torah. And he sees this guy's learning not for the real motivation. He's buzzed the end of Mo'il Chasu Sholem. So he starts looking down on other people because he's got to this new level But he's the new, come into this new higher spiritual level. He looks down at these people and he scorns them, he scoffs them. And this is a terrible sin. Rachamon Yetzilein, Hashem should save us from this, from arrogance. Ki be'emes, for in truth, all the whole matter of the purity of the heart when it comes to the service of Hashem, who the mitzvah. To serve Hashem with a pure heart is a mitzvah. But it doesn't, if a person doesn't serve Hashem with purity of heart, it doesn't mean he doesn't have the mitzvah. He's still done the mitzvah. In other words, there's a person who serves Hashem with purity of the heart, there's a person who serves Hashem without the purity of the heart. But both of them have done the mitzvah. The purity of the heart adds a plus, right? It puts him on a new level. But both of them have done the mitzvah, whether he did it with purity of heart or not. Both of them have fulfilled the mitzvah. As I read before in Shar Aleph, we're still going to speak about this a little bit later. We call him Mekai Mitzvah Hashem, and anyone who fulfills the mitzvah Hashem, he fulfills the conditions like the Torah, he fulfills the Elocha. He does what he's supposed to do. He does it correctly. He does what the Torah Kedusha says, Shebichsav, Shebalpi, is fulfilling the Gemara, is fulfilling what the Chumash says. Af beloid vekas, even though he's not clinging to Hashem, he's not cleaving to Hashem, he's not doing it at the highest level, Nikra gamken oived elokim. He's also called one who's serving Hashem. He's doing the mitzvah, he's doing like the Shulchan Aruch says, he's doing it correctly, even though he doesn't have the highest thoughts and the most lofty thoughts, still he's called that he's serving Hashem. V'ahuv lefod of his bo, and he is beloved to Hashem. Someone who's fulfilling mitzvahs, he's doing it correctly, he's beloved to Hashem. Even though his thoughts are not in the highest place. V'chein ha'adam oisik b'teres Hashem, and certainly someone who's sitting and learning Torah, afilu shelo lishma, even without the right motivation, he doesn't have the purest motivations. Im ki vadai shadayin einu b'madrega v'vua amitis, even though he's not at the highest of the true high level, omnom chalila v'chalila v'zoisa afilu b'leiv. But, you know, right? God forbid that we should scorn him even in our own thoughts. Even in our own thoughts, we can't look down on this person. He's not learning with the right motivations. Chalila v'chalila, we should think badly of him. That's forbidden. It's mamish forbidden. The Adarab, on the contrary, called Ish Yisrael mechuyav gam linhoig boi kovid. And on the contrary, this is someone who's learning Torah, we have to honor him. You see someone learning Torah, he sits and learns Torah, you have to honor him. His motivations aren't the best motivation. Doesn't matter. He's learning Torah. Someone who sits and learns Torah, we have to honor our Torah scholars. Someone who's a scholar, he's learning Torah, we have to honor him. Kamosha Kosev, like it says, Besmoila Oishava Kovit. Like it's a pasuk we say, when we put back the same, we say, right? We say, Oich Yomim Bimina, Besmoila Oishava Kovit. It says about the Torah, length of days on its right side, and honor and glory, honor and wealth on its left side. That's what it says about the Torah. So what does that mean? What is that pasuk referring to? So it talks, the Gemara explains that if a person learns with the right motivation, so then he gets length of days, which means the world to come. And if he learns with the wrong motivation, at least he gets wealth and honor. So it's called, right, that's what we say, the smoyle oish of God on his left side means with the wrong motivation, with lolishmo, without the right motivation, at least he gets honor and wealth. So what do we see? The Torah says he gets honor. So we should be giving him honor. He's learning Torah. He's learning with the wrong motivation. Doesn't matter. The Torah says we have to give honor and wealth to the person who's learning Torah, even if it's for the wrong motivation. Just by the way, what about the person who learns with the right motivation? Does he get honor and wealth? So the Gemara says, yeah, kol shekein. He gets length of days, and all the more so he gets honor and wealth. Exactly what honor means, exactly what wealth means, we don't know. Just a quick story. We know that one of the segulas for wealth is to be a tzaddik. So that's apparently, if you zeichet to be a tzaddik, that's a segula for wealth. So they once asked the snipler was in his time, and everyone wanted him to be the tzaddik, right? He was mamish going from bris to bris. He was the tzaddik here, the tzaddik there. So they said to him, someone once asked him, but it says that if someone is a tzaddik, he becomes wealthy, you're not wealthy. He lived in a little flat in Bnei Brak, a little pokey flat. So they said, doesn't the tzaddik become wealthy? How come you're not wealthy? So he pointed to his set of Kilis Yankov. He wrote a whole encyclopedic set. He says, you call that not wealthy? Look at the books I've written. I'm not wealthy. I'm the one of the wealthiest people in the world. I've authored these books. Of course I'm wealthy. What are you talking about? So therefore, what's wealth? Okay, wealth is a different definition of what's called wealth. But in any event, we see that someone who's a Torah scholar, even without the right motivation, we have to be giving him honor. And also in the Zohar it says, Torah Hashem Tmima, Kam Islo Nevnei Noshali Shtadla Baraisa. It says the Torah of Hashem is perfect, And therefore, says the Zohar, how much a person has to make an effort to toil in Torah. The kol mandi shtadl b'raisa, the hevel echaim. Because whoever toils in Torah will merit life. V'afilu mandi shtadl, this is the Zohar. V'afilu mandi shtadl b'raisa v'lo yishtadl b'alishmo kedekayos. And even someone who's toiling in Torah and he's not toiling with the right motivation as is fitting, he's toiling in Torah, but it's not the right motivation, it's not the fitting motivation, it's not the correct motivation. Zochil agatav be'almadein. He merits a good reward in this world, and he will not be judged in the world to come for not having the right motivation. He will not be punished. He will not lose out for not having the right motivation in the world to come. It could be he won't get an extra plus that he could have got, but he won't be punished for not having the right motivation. That's the Zohar. V'talchazi, and come and see. Ksiv oyich yomim b'yamina, says the Zohar. It says length of days on the right side. B'smoyla oyish v'kovet, the same passage we spoke about before. B'smoyla oyish v'kovet. On the left side, we said, is wealth and honor. Agatav v'shal v'islay b'hai alma. And that is the person who learns, even with the wrong motivation, has a good reward, and he has contentment in this world. So we see from the Zohar clearly that even someone who is busying himself in Torah without the right motivation, as is fitting, some sort of self-motivation, some sort of, he's got some self-interest that he wants to study a lot of Torah, maybe they'll make, appoint him a rabbi of the town, maybe they'll make him a judge, maybe he'll get a position of authority. Even if he's doing for this wrong motivation, rakim eino lekimtor. The only thing would be, which would be negative, if a person learns Torah in order to put down other Torah scholars. He learns Torah in order to argue with people and to sort of make a stink. So if that's his motivation to learn Torah, then that's a sin. A person who learns Torah in order to argue with others, that's a sin. But if a person doesn't have that motivation, he has some other self-interest. He wants a certain prestige, not to chas v'shalom make fights. He wants a certain prestige. So then he's going to get this good reward. Now about the person who learns Torah in order to argue with other people, to quarrel with other people, and then on him the Chazal say, Asher Olav Amru Chazal, about the person who learns Torah in order to argue with other people, it says, Noech Leishit Hafech Shil Yosa Ponov. The Gemara in Yerushalmi says, a person who learns Torah in order to quarrel with people, it would have suited him better to have been suffocated by his own sack. What's it called? The sack of the fetus, right? He should have been suffocated. Better that he should have died at childbirth than come into this world and learn Torah in order to quarrel with people. That's what it says about someone who quarrels. But besides that motivation, a person is a tzaddik. Also the person who learned Torah in order to quarrel, it's considered a poison. However, if a person is learning not for that motivation, but just for some other self-interest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kovel Yischar Tov, Hashem will give him good reward. Shemagelo Oish V'Kovet V'Shalva B'Hai Alma. He's going to receive wealth and honor and serenity in this world. V'Gam Lo Yidanin Alei B'Hu Alma. And also, he will not be punished for having the wrong motivation. Al Oisa Machshava Apnei Shekiven Bo. He will not be punished in the next world for having the wrong motivation. V'Kol Shekanim Einu Mechavin Klal Shum Pnei. And all the more so if someone doesn't have any motivation. Sometimes a guy just sits and learns. He's not really doing it mamish for Hashem. He doesn't have any control. He's sitting and learning without any intention at all, right? And he doesn't have any intention for some sort of self prestige. Hakam she'enkav anos lishmo daf. Even though he's not having the mamish, he doesn't have a negative intention, but he doesn't have the real positive intention he's supposed to have. And that is, by the way, he's telling us something he's going to speak about more in the fourth chapter, Shara Dalit, is that the real intention when it comes to learning Torah is for the sake of the Torah. The ideal intention when one learns Torah, this is the best intention you can have, is for the sake, you learn Torah for the sake of knowing Torah, for the sake of the Torah. The Torah was given to us to know, that's the intention why Torah was given, and that's the highest intention you can have. I'm learning Torah for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of knowing the Torah, for the sake of keeping the Torah. That's the highest intention. So even if a person doesn't have that intention, we're still going to speak later in chapter 3 of Shah Dalet, B'Shem HaRosh, it's the idea that comes from the Rosh, just someone learns, because whatever, he likes learning, he's learning, he comes to learn, that's without any special intentions. Hashem ki lishmo domi. So he's got credit as if he's learning for the right intention. even though he's not learning for the right intention, he gets credit in Shemaim as if he's learning for the right intention. And the reason is because busying yourself in Torah is very, very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the most precious occupations that there can be. So even without having the best intention, he gets full credit. Why? Because Oisik in Torah is very, very precious to Hashem in the eyes of Hashem. More than all of the mitzvahs, Nishmo. Even doing all the mitzvahs with the right intention and learning Torah without the right intention, learning Torah without the right intention is higher than doing mitzvahs with the right intention. Learning Torah even without the right intention is higher than all of the mitzvahs with the right intention. All the mitzvahs Nishmo. The Kedusha V'tar B'machshav V'karui. And he's got it right. And we've got a source for that. We'll see that. Please God, next time.